Please take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is on page 909 if you're using a pew Bible this morning. So last week we started a new series called Following God in a World Turned Upside Down. This morning we focus on how you and I are not alone as we deal with these difficulties. Last week we talked about this particular picture, one of my favorites, and it's showing something from 1646. Notice it had typed 1647. They marked it out and said, nope, 1646. And so he said, everything is upside down. This is a complaint during the English Civil War, and the guy's got his clothes on backwards or upside down. A cat is chasing a dog. A fish and an eel are flying, and there's a castle that's upside down. The world, they were saying, has turned upside down. And sometimes it feels that way with us. Last week we mentioned how someone in a school got in trouble for reading a Bible during free time, and then another person got in school for got in trouble for praying with some friends at lunchtime. And then we talked about the shootings we've had in Las Vegas and Florida and so many other things that show that our world has truly turned upside down. Our world is turned upside down, but we must remember we do not go through this upside down world all alone. We have someone who goes with us and who helps us. And it's a scary thing to feel like one is all alone. I was in a building this past Tuesday trying to get out, trying to get home, see Lynn and Mackenzie and Mitchell, and someone yells out and said, there's someone stuck in the elevator. Well, you know, if you talk about the Good Samaritan all the time, you can't walk by when someone's stuck in the elevator. And so I put my things down, and I'm trying to figure out, well, where's she at? What's going on with that? And a worker is there, and he gets to her kind of within a floor or so, and he's talking, and they're like, okay, well, I'll go, and I'll meet the police. Police come, and one officer comes, and then I help the next officer come in, and the officer goes in. He says, I usually take this thing, I reset it, and it starts working. Well, when he reset it, it turned all the lights out. So now she's in the elevator, and she's in the dark. And he's like, well, I don't think that worked there. So, you know, he said, you know, but the fire department's great. So like, yeah. We're in the basement, so his emergency elevator or his emergency radio doesn't work in the basement. He can hear them, they can't hear him. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go out there and I'll get the fire department. You know, so he comes up and they're like, we got a ladder truck coming. We got some more trucks coming. So, in other words, we can't fix it ourselves, fire department, Sam, but we got a bunch of other trucks coming. Well, they come in and then I go up and I see this other guy again. I think I mentioned him, the cleaning guy. And he's like, I can't leave her. People go crazy sometimes in this situation. I'm like, you're exactly right. Stay with her. And so he did. And actually, after a bit, the fire department did their magic, and they worked it and got her out. She was stuck between two floors. And whoo, she walked to her car, and the cleaning man walked all the way with her. And then he walked back to me, and he said, I was afraid she's going to lose it. Felt like I just had to stay there, and I had to keep talking to her so that she understood she was not alone. And this guy got it. He got it. So all the fire department and the police department and even I was doing what I was doing, he stayed right there with her, and he kept saying, now, Susan, you're going to be okay. Oh, they've got a fire truck here. They're about to get you out. I'm sure they've got another fire. And he just kept doing that so she knew she was not alone. You and I don't like it when we're alone, whether it's an elevator or the darkness or going through a particular problem and we don't quite know how to deal with it. We just don't like it. But this scripture here is telling us that we are not alone. We have the Lord who's with us. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, and this is what the Bible says. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And as this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." This is what the Bible says about some folks long, long ago who had a very unusual experience. And the question as we look at this, we must ask ourselves, what happened? What is going on in this situation? Go back and look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And it says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place." So this Pentecost was a feast, a major feast that Jews had. And it was usually, well, it was 50 days after Passover. So it's 50 days after Passover. Jesus Christ died on the cross in the Passover time. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven with 40 days after. And this is Pentecost here. And something else is about to happen. So notice it's Pentecost. They're all together in one place. Remember last week we talked about how there were 120 of them in a place that is often referred to as the upper room. Verse 2, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting." So here's something to remember. There's this sound of a wind. Now where do we get this in other places in the Scripture? 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah was so depressed that God came and appeared to him when he was in this cave, the Scripture says that God said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake." There's an example of God using the wind that you notice if you keep reading that, he stayed depressed, but he was using that to speak to Elijah. There's a place in Job chapter 38. Job kept saying, "I want to talk to God about my situation." And the Scripture says, "Then Job answered God out of a whirlwind," out of a tornado, you and I might refer to it as today. So we see those are examples where God used the wind. There's another in the days of Jesus, John 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And so it sounds like he's making some connection between the wind and the Spirit. This is very important, what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. "You can't see God," people like to say to us from time to time. And it sounds like Jesus is acknowledging part of that, but he's saying you can see the effects of God. And he's saying you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind as it moves trees and moves flowers and so forth. And so he's giving us something about that. So back to verse 2 of Acts 2. And he says, "Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind." So God's using wind in some way. "It filled the entire house." So this is different. This is a different thing here. "An entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them." This is unusual. This is, we would say, a miracle, as we talked about on Wednesday nights. God still does miracles. So here we see in Matthew 3, verse 11, the Scripture says, John the Baptist speaking, "I baptize you with water," something you can see, "for repentance. But he who is coming after me," the Messiah, Jesus, "is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so you see him talking about Jesus coming. He probably didn't completely understand what he was talking about here. Jesus is coming, and he's going to bring in or usher in the Holy Spirit, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So there's a connection. We've got the wind, we've got the Holy Spirit being referred to here, and then there's the connection also of fire. What is fire about? Fire symbolizes purity, and you see this also throughout the Scriptures, or it symbolizes something that purifies. Over in Exodus 3, you remember, Moses is out in the wilderness. An angel of the Lord appeared to him. So this is what's called a theophany, an appearance of God, and he's appearing through this burning bush in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And so we see throughout the Scriptures that God uses the wind, and it's sometimes used to symbolize him, or he works through the wind. You also see him using the fire, and it's described in that way. And then you see in verse 3 again, divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. Before we get to that, remember also in the early part of the Scripture, over in Genesis 1, where we're hearing about the world being created. And we see in verse 2 of Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void, that darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So, one of the things we want to get really clear is that the Holy Spirit was not created on the day of Pentecost in the event we're seeing here. He's always been. And so, it's always been God the Father. It's always, we've always had God the Son. We've always had God the Spirit. And even when you look in the Genesis account, you see the word God, which is a plural word in the Hebrew. It says, let us, which is a plural pronoun. Didn't say let me, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. And so you see, there's always been God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is the Trinity that we refer to from time to time. And this is what they used to do in the ancient church to try to help people understand it. You've got God. He's one God. The Father's not the Son. The Son's not the Holy Spirit. The Son's not the Father. But they're all God, and they are three in one. So the Holy Spirit is being used in a greater way, or being more evident, we should say. He has come, you can say that, at Pentecost, and he has always been, but he is going to be far more active than he has been, we should say, in the past, from Pentecost forward. And so, as you go back and look in verse 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised he was coming, and Jesus had been with them. Now he's going away, and he said it's going to be okay because the Holy Spirit will be with you. Now, how do they know that the Holy Spirit had come? If I say the Holy Spirit is with the person, or if I say something major has happened, what is the evidence of it? And so the Lord is going to show them that this is real. He's showing them by the wind that they're having, by whatever's happening with this fire and these tongues lighting upon them. And then it's going to become very evident in this next section here. Look again at verse 4. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they're able to speak in other tongues or other languages because the Spirit had enabled them to do this. Look at verse 5. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And so they're looking and they're hearing people speak in their own language, and this is like, how is this happening? Acts chapter 2, and scroll down And look real quickly in verse 7. They're amazed, they're astonished, and they said, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" So notice this is interesting. One of the things that shocks them is the people doing this speaking in these other languages are Galileans. Now, what's the point of that? What's the big deal? Many years ago, it was the day before President Kennedy was assassinated. They were down in Texas, and we all know about that. We've read about that, and I was reading something in a history book not all that long ago, and they were talking about the Rice Hotel. The night before Kennedy was assassinated, they went to the Rice Hotel, and they were supposed to just kind of walk through. There was this Spanish-speaking group there, and they were going to walk through, say hi, and all this. But Miss Kennedy went up to the platform and gave a speech in Spanish, in good Spanish. And there's a video of that, actually. And so people were like, wow, that's pretty good. And actually, someone had written about how she walked away from that. This is a picture that's taken immediately afterward. And like, hey, that was good. I helped my husband here in this situation because her Spanish was just impeccable. It was wonderful. Now, Miss Kennedy did that. She did something like that also after some of the people were returned from the Bay of Pigs down in Miami. So she did that a couple of times in her life. But it's one thing for Jackie Kennedy to do that. Someone who had been educated at Vassar, someone who had been educated in France, although that's French and this is Spanish. But anyway, she was erudite. She was a sharp lady. It's one thing for her to do it. But what these folks are saying is these are Galileans. And basically what they're saying is these are folks that haven't gone that far through school. These are people that aren't likely to pick up a language that easily. And they're speaking languages, our language, and we can hear it. And here's what we have to look at. They named these places. Here's a map at that time in the Roman Empire. And they're naming the different places where people are hearing these different languages, or people from these places are hearing their own language spoken. And when you begin to look at it, number one, it's just kind of interesting historically. It shows us something about the Jewish diaspora, how the Jews have been pushed all out in Europe and Asia at that point. But the other aspect that it shows is that this is a miracle beyond miracles, that these folks could be hearing this in their different languages. And so, as we look at this, it's taking place to show this is real. This is real. There's another place over in Acts chapter 10 where the gospel goes to the Gentiles. And in verse 44, it says, Peter was still saying these things, and the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed. The Jews that came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. They were hearing them speaking tongues and extolling God. And Peter declared, well, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? The point is, the Lord used this miracle again in this example because Jews were like, hey, the gospel's for us. The gospel's not for Gentiles. They're lowly people. But when they heard them speaking in tongues, they're like, no, this is real. And Peter's acknowledging, they're saying, this is real, guys. Can anyone keep us from baptizing these people? This was a miracle. This was a wonderful event. And so when we go back and we look at Acts chapter 2, we notice again, verse 7, they're amazed because these folks, they say, that are speaking like this are Galileans. They've not been educated in these other languages that they're speaking. Verse 8, how is this that we hear each of us his own language, his own native language? And so apparently they're speaking it quite well. Keep on going, and he names the different places that we showed on the map a moment ago. And then look at verse 11, and it says, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. So we're talking about a whole different group of people. Jews who had been scattered all through Asia and Europe had come back to worship at Pentecost, as well as proselytes, Gentiles who had turned to Judaism. They too had come, and they were hearing their language. We hear them telling, this is verse 11, the middle part, we hear them telling in our own language the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? And what does it mean? What is this all about? Well, keep on going. And you just have to, it's almost funny. Look at verse 13. Others mocking said, they're filled with new wine. Now, who is it that mocked and said they were filled with new wine? Now, the scripture tells us, or Peter's about to tell us, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. So this is 9 in the morning. And Peter's going to say to these people, he's going to say, guys, gals, people aren't drunk. Most people aren't drunk at 9 in the morning. Okay, so this is not what's going on here. They're not drunk. But it's a phenomenon that happens to this day. The people that didn't know any other languages looked at them and it looked silly to them. And they just started laughing and said, oh, they're drunk. No, you're not smart enough to realize he's speaking in a different language. And if you'll notice, that happens to this day. Sometimes people will hear someone speaking another language and they'll sometimes make fun of them. Well, that's usually people that aren't very smart, unfortunately. You know, they'll be, oh, no, look. And so what they're looking at them saying, oh, they're drunk. They just weren't smart enough to realize, no, he's speaking that language and they're speaking that language. They assume the people were drunk that they are looking at. Peter's going to come in a little bit and say, no, guys, they're not drunk. People, for the most part, large number like this, do not get drunk before 9 in the morning. So he begins to speak to them in verse 14. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and he addressed them. He said, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be made known to you and give ear to my word. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 in the morning. They're not drunk. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. So he's like, okay, go with me a little bit. Do you know the Old Testament? Peter's basically saying. He's saying there's a passage in Joel. He doesn't say Joel 2, 28 through 32, but that's what he's quoting, and he starts quoting it. But this is what is uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Now we know the Spirit was there when the world was created. We know the Spirit has always been there, but he's letting us know there's going to be a time where he's going to be extremely active. I pour out my Spirit on all flesh, verse 17. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And so he's like, it's going to be different. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Well, I've got that in there. That's the same passage again. So he's letting them know in the last days, you're going to see the Spirit manifested in a greater way. And what that means is that God is with us and God is there and God is especially active and He is helping us. Look at verse 18. Even on my male servants and on my female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. And so he's getting at how, you know, there was a time where the Lord spoke to Moses. He would go up on the mountain and he would speak to him. And here in this particular example, what he's showing to us here is he's going to speak to men, he's going to speak to women, he's going to speak to all kinds of folks, all kinds of folks. Have you ever had situations where you looked at something and you thought to yourself, oh, I wish I could talk to this person or I wish I could talk to that person? I remember a few years after Lynn's father died, we were talking one day and she said, I wish I could talk to my dad about this. I wish we could go over and we could just have a couple of moments just to explain this situation and go through this situation and talk to him about this. And it's like you can't because he's gone. But what you can do is you can have access to the Holy Spirit and we can talk to Him and we can have Him to help us and help us along. Not all that long ago, the Vice President of the United States was made fun of on a particular television show. There was a particular personality who made fun of him and said, I think the Vice President has a mental illness because he says that he hears the Lord, that God talks to him. And she eventually came back and she apologized for that.
But she was saying, you know, I think anyone who says that God would speak to them is someone that we should be concerned about and we shouldn't really listen to.
Well, that's exactly what happens when the Holy Spirit works with us. Now, He may not say audibly, you need to go to such and such, or you need to do such and such. But He will impress on our heart and point us in a particular direction. The Scripture tells us in John 14, this is Jesus, and we looked at this last week. He says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
So what that Scripture is saying to us is He's going to be with us. He's going to go with us. He's going to comfort us. It's going to be okay. I'm going to get you through this thing when we're going through difficulties. And there will be times where He will impart wisdom to us, usually through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit saying, pay attention, listen to this, and think about how to apply that particular passage. As we think of this situation, we come back and ask ourselves, well, how do we proceed in a world turned upside down? And we proceed knowing that we have a God who is with us, He was in us, and He is comforting us, and He is helping us regardless of what trouble may come our way. John 14 again talks about that, and we're reminded that He says, I'm going to ask the Father, and you're going to have the Holy Spirit, and He says, you're going to have the Helper. And so you can think about the Holy Spirit walking with us along the way, kind of like ushering us along, getting us through a difficult time, getting us through a grieving process, or getting us through a terrible situation. And He's helping us along. We must also realize that He's directing us when we're going through and needing certain types of wisdom and how to deal with a particular situation. So the Scripture tells us over in the book of James chapter 1 that when you need wisdom, to ask the Lord and He will give it to us liberally. So we've got a problem at work and we're praying to the Lord and we're saying, help me to know what to do. And we're regularly reading His Scripture. And how many times does it happen when we're going through a situation like that, that we read a passage that morning or that night after a situation and realize how it comes to bear on the issue that we are dealing with? And so that's what He's saying to us. I've talked about this in the past, but the oil well situation or out in Texas during the Great Depression. There's a field in Texas called Yates Field. And during the Great Depression, it was actually a place that was used for sheep to graze upon. And it said that the family that owned that land was really struggling, as was everyone in the Great Depression. You know, in the Great Depression, many farms were foreclosed upon, and the Yates family was very close to losing their particular farm. But someone came along and said, we'd like to drill a wildcat well, if at all possible. We'd like to do that on your particular property. And they let them do that. And at 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. And so it emerged, and then they had 80,000 barrels of oil coming from that oil reserve, every day. 30 years after they found oil there, they were getting 125,000 barrels of oil from that particular farm a day. And the founder, Bill Bright, wrote about this, Campus Crusade for Christ. And he was writing about this particular event at one point. He said, these folks were about to lose their farm. These folks were struggling in a terrible way financially. And all that time, they were right underneath them was millions and billions of dollars worth of oil right there for them. All kinds of riches. And so when Bill Bright wrote about this, he said, in many ways, this is the Christian who doesn't take advantage of the guidance and the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us. We're going through and we're living our lives, and we may be going through a particular difficulty where we need wisdom or we need comfort or whatever it is that we are needing. And he says, often we are impoverished, and it's because we've not gone under the surface. We've not allowed the Holy Spirit to work within us and to lead us and to guide us and to help us. And he says it's really similar, if you think about it, to what was going on in this situation with the Yates farm during the Great Depression. The Holy Spirit helps us. And you see this throughout John 14. Again, he says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And so he's saying, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you how to live. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. He's going to bring to remembrance to you the things that he said, which is getting at the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's going to help us with those things. And so, real quickly, I encourage you, maybe we don't have time to do it this morning, but to go back and read Romans 8. And to read how it talks about the manifestation of the Spirit in our lives. Romans 8 is where we have that famous passage, all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. And then he keeps on going and talks about how we have been predestined, or it's been predetermined that we would be in the image of His Son. And you keep going, and he goes through and he says, now who can separate us from the love of God? He says, angels can't. He's talking about demons. He's saying, nor height, nor depth, nor distance, or anything. And then he talks about how even when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us. He teaches us. He intercedes on our behalf. And so the point of it is, in a world turned upside down, how do we proceed? Well, we proceed with confidence because we've got someone that's teaching us, comforting us, helping us. He is with us every step of the way as we go along and as we live our lives. We live in a world that has turned upside down. What used to be right is now considered to be wrong. What was wrong is now considered to be right. Things that many of us probably thought we would never see. This danger in so many of our schools, the danger that happens just by going to a concert, how someone could lose their life. Many people have in the last several months. These are crazy times. This is a world turned upside down. But we go through it, and we can go through it with confidence if we have Christ in our lives, and we can go through it knowing we have the Holy Spirit in our heart. He helps us, He comforts us, He strengthens us, He guides us, and He gives us the wisdom we need to navigate this crazy situation we find ourselves in. Will you embrace Him? Will you take advantage of Him? Will you talk to Him? Will you read the Word and let Him guide you? And will you be willing to do what He lays upon your heart, what He teaches us that we need to do? I trust you'll do that today. Father, we thank you for the scripture we've looked at this morning. We thank you for the guidance that we get from the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you will help us and you will go with us every step of the way and help us to be reminded that we have the Holy Spirit to rely upon when we need strength, when we need comfort, when we need help, when we need wisdom. And help us to look to Him to do that. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit is not in your life because you've never committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you do that right now? There where you stand, or if you prefer, you could come to this altar and pray here. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, come into my life. Lord, I commit to following you until the day I die. If you've never prayed a prayer like that, pray that this morning. Maybe you are here this morning and you have the Lord in your life, but you're struggling. You need wisdom, or you need comfort. You need some help. And so this morning you call upon Him. Lord, give me the comfort. Give me the strength. Help me as only the Holy Spirit can. Guide me as only the Holy Spirit can. You know what you need to pray. Pray it now, there where you stand, or if you prefer, at this altar as Liam plays.
Amen.